Let's open with hymn number 28. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities,
with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Reward them that wait for thee, O Lord, and let thy prophets be found faithful. Hear the prayer of thy servants and of thy people Israel. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we are poor, miserable sinners, and we know that thy will but cannot fulfill it because of the weakness of our flesh and blood, and because our enemy, the devil, will not leave us in peace. Therefore, we beseech thee, shed thy Holy Spirit in our hearts, that in steadfast faith we may cling to thy Son, Jesus Christ, find comfort in his passion and death, believe the forgiveness of sin through him, and in willing obedience to thy will, lead holy lives on earth, until by thy grace through a blessed death we depart from this world of sorrow and obtain eternal life through thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Old Testament lesson for this 18th Sunday after Trinity is found in the first chapter of 2 Chronicles, the 7th through the 12th verse. And that night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said to God, You have shown great mercy to David, my father, and you have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made me a king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? And God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 4th through the 9th verse. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you by Jesus Christ, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here ends the epistle lesson. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. Hallelujah, hallelujah. O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel is found in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, the 34th through the 46th verse. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, which is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him any more. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. We sing Lord Christ, Son of the Father, in the bulletin insert. Grace, mercy, and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is found in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, the 34th through the 46th verse. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, The son of David. He said to them, How then does David in the spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day on did anyone dare question him any more. Here ends our text. Let me see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ our Lord, it seems just a short while ago that we heard the gospel lesson which told of another young lawyer who was trying to trap Jesus with the question, What good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? And here, again, we have several Pharisees, one of them a lawyer, trying to trap Jesus with a very similar question. What is the greatest commandment? And the answer to both questions is the same. The first was given by the young lawyer, and this is given by Jesus. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments, Jesus said, all of the law and the prophets hang. And so, what we note about these two events is that it was the law, always the law, that was on the mind of Jesus' adversaries. Which commandments are most important? Whether you are allowed to eat or heal on the Sabbath day, whether you can glean a bit of wheat on the Sabbath as you walk along the road. They grumble about Jesus eating with sinners, about being served by sinners, about not washing before he eats. If you look back through the scriptures, you will find that every single argument between the Pharisees and Jesus is about the law. They were obsessed with it. It's almost as if they were convinced that the only thing you can find in all of the scriptures are laws and ordinances and commandments. Is that all that is to be found in God's word? Other religions have holy books, so-called, that are filled with nothing but laws and commandments. Many of them even sound very similar to the commandments in the Bible. It seems that the Pharisees are not alone with being obsessed with the law. All men are obsessed with it. Look in all the world for anyone who's seeking to know who God is, and see what all of their wisest men have to say, and all you will find are people obsessed with laws and commandments and rules. And yet this obsession is really a form of blindness, because the scripture is not all law. In fact, it is not even chiefly law. The Bible is above every other so-called holy book, for there is a greater word in the Bible that is not law at all. And yet, man by nature, such as the Pharisees, is blind to this other part of God's word. It's almost like a color blindness, where every passage looks like a different shade of gray, a different shade of the law. They can see nothing in the Bible except what you must do or not do for God. But look at the wonderful word which we have before us. And we see that that other word of God is the gospel, which declares all the wonderful things that God has done for you, freely and graciously. The word of God is not a bleak, black and white landscape of commandments. It is in living color, declaring the glorious things that God has prepared for you in his Son, Jesus Christ. And yet show most people this glorious grace, and all they will see is another series of commandments to keep. Everything to them is just a different shade of gray, no color at all. You remember, maybe, how Luther was taught by the Roman Church to believe that Jesus came to the earth as the greatest lawgiver that God ever sent to men. He was a savior only because he gave new laws for man to keep, better laws than Moses had given. And so you will find that this blindness is central to every religion, also the Christian church. The same blindness has persisted even within the church since the day that men fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. And it does not get better unless God steps in and graciously cures it. And God has designed His Word to cure this blindness. Unlike the false creeds of the nations, the law in the Bible is pure and perfect. And all who believe what God's Word actually does say about laws and commandments must admit that they are helpless sinners who cannot keep God's law. But here is that other word coming to the rescue. The gospel, the word of grace and mercy, offering to man the answer to their sin. But if their blindness still persists, they will not be able to comprehend God's mercy and grace. To such a man, the gospel not only runs contrary to the law, it also violates his sense of reason. It's contrary to everything his mind is capable of understanding. And at worst, he becomes angry, and at best, he becomes confused. And so this is what we see happening to the Pharisees. Jesus turns their trap around, and he shows them the gospel. He shows them a word that had been written centuries before, and they're completely confused by it, and they have no answer for him. And it so unnerves them that they decide never to ask Jesus another question again. There before their eyes were the words of King David, who wrote in Psalm 2, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Those were there. There were those words on the page, and they'd been there for centuries long before Jesus was born. This was a part of God's word which the Pharisees were supposed to know, understand, and believe. And yet suddenly, what they thought they knew of God's word was challenged, not just by Jesus, by these very words of God. And instead of honestly confessing and confronting their own ignorance, they chose to ignore it. When God reveals to you your blindness, there is a right response and a wrong response. The wrong response is that which we see of the Pharisees, who turned away and refused to consider any more this word that they found in the very word of God. But the right response is to say, here is a great truth I did not even know existed. And now I have to start all over again. And I have to relearn many things, for all that I thought before is wrong. But how glorious it is to know this. Because before I was without hope, and now heaven itself has been opened to me. When we hear and believe the gospel, the good news of Christ, it cures our blindness, and we begin to see all of God's word in a different light. And we find out that God himself is a very different God than we imagined that he was. He is a God of mercy and compassion, who bears with us in our sin and lowliness. He who is Lord above all becomes the Son of Man. He comes and takes our sin and lowliness upon himself so that we might be holy and righteous through him. And this truth is revealed in all the scriptures. But to hear it, you must quench your pride and admit that you know nothing and must be taught everything by God. There was another Pharisee named Nicodemus who went to Jesus by night wanting to learn the wondrous truth that he knew that Jesus had. And when Jesus told him, he said, "How can these things be?" He wanted to learn of Jesus how it is that a man could be born again and enter the kingdom of God. But his fellow Pharisees wanted to hear no such thing. Upon hearing the word of God, they asked no such question. In fact, they asked Jesus no more questions at all. And really, this is what we find wherever the gospel is proclaimed. As long as you are self-righteous, as long as you believe that you are able to please God and earn your way to heaven, you will be gospel blind, unable to understand or believe it. Even the greatest preacher of all, Jesus Christ, preached the gospel to deaf ears. And he accomplished nothing in a heart that was addicted to the law except to harden the heart even further. If he could not convert self-righteous sinners with the gospel, then we cannot either.
That's right. No amount of gospel preaching will have any effect upon a self-righteous man. Because if a man still trusts in his own ability to please God, he won't understand you when you tell him that Jesus, the Son of God, is his Savior. How often we fail to understand this. Many churches have fallen into the grave error, which is the opposite extreme of the Pharisees, a law blindness. They refuse to preach that the wages of sin is death and that the law of God condemns us all. They even refuse to preach against the public sins of their own members. Look at the travesty that is the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, who now openly endorses the very sin that God caused to rain down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet to such people they say, "You need no forgiveness. Go and sin again." This is like going to a man who's in prison and throwing him a party and giving him a fine meal, an entertainment center, a nice change of clothing, and decorating his jail cell. Instead of wishing to be set free, he becomes content where he is. He has even less desire to leave. God's law must be clearly proclaimed in order to destroy his illusions. The reality of his prison cell must become so painful to him that he desires to be set free. That is why God has placed his law in the scriptures. That is why he has made it so clear and above all the commandments which men imagine in their own hearts. That is why the law and the prophets all hinge on two things. Love God perfectly and love your neighbor more than yourself or as yourself. You too must do what Jesus himself does in our lesson today. Show this truth of the Word of God. Because one half of God's truth is not enough. Only the whole Word of God, his commandments and his blessings can save you and your fellow man. When you confess your faith, remember the example of Jesus. He declares to the Pharisees the greatest commandment of all: love God. This is the foundation and essence of every law that there is. If you cannot love God perfectly, then you are damned. The Pharisees were fond of keeping the details of the law, but ignoring the foundation. That's what a righteous man always does. He believes he can please God by believing that the law is easy to keep. And therefore, the first part of being self-righteous is trivializing God's law and making God less holy and less demanding than he is. But God's law is not the details built upon it. God's law is perfect, and it is love. That is what he demands of you. Keeping a few commandments here and there is not going to help you. If you think the external details alone will save you, then you're like a man waist-deep in quicksand who is brushing his teeth and clipping his nails and combing his hair. Jesus preaches the law to him and says, "Wake up! Look at yourself! You're going to die soon. Cannot you see that you're sinking and you will soon be lost?" But Jesus then extends to the sinner a branch to pull him out of the quicksand. He declares, "Here, let me rescue you. Without my help, you will die. Indeed, even I was killed by the law. I, who lived a perfect life, suffered dreadfully and died upon a cross because that was the cost of your sin. And yet I've paid the cost. Therefore, let me rescue you from death." Jesus reached out to these Pharisees with the branch of the gospel by showing them that Christ is both God and man, that he had to come and take their place under the law so that they might be saved, because that is the only way he could redeem us from sin. The Son of David was also David's Lord. But sadly, the Pharisees ignored the branch and refused to believe that they were in danger of eternal death. So you see, when you're blind to a part of God's word, you're really blind to the whole thing. You turn God into a sinner by making him only as holy as yourself, and you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ because you don't believe that you need it. You must understand how foolish it is to place any trust in your own goodness, and how offensive it is to God when you do so. That is why he continues to condemn you for your sins,
and demands perfection from you in every way, because this is the only way that he can get through to you. So that when he declares to you the forgiveness of sins in his Son, Jesus Christ, you will cling to Jesus with all your strength and love him dearly for his mercy, for redeeming you from death and granting you eternal life. And oh, how wonderful that we have such a God who seeks us out and saves us. He did not stay far away, sitting on his heavenly throne, but he came to earth and was born of David's line, and yet he remained David's Lord and God. He, the sinless one, the only man who kept the law in all of its parts, is also our Savior who suffered and died for us, so that we might freely partake of his righteousness and eternal life. In Jesus, the law and the gospel meet, and the result is our redemption. May we hear his word with fruit, confess our sins, and cling to Jesus, the Son of David and Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, who art ever faithful, and who has kept every one of thy precious promises, we thank thee for the wondrous gift of Jesus Christ, thy Son, and for all the promised graces we have received through him, that in the brightness of his glory we may perceive thine own glory, that in his mercy, truth, and holy life we have learned thy will, that in his obedience unto the death of the cross, we have been granted the forgiveness of sins, that in his resurrection we have the certain hope of eternal life, and that in his ascension to thy right hand we are assured of his intercession before thee for our sakes. Help us that we may heartily believe and trust in him, love and serve him in thought, word, and deed, and thereby manifest his Spirit, and that we may remain partakers of thy promise in him, and be found at his coming worthy to bear the crown of life. Preserve our faith through which we are justified, and confirm us in his testimony unto our end. Preserve thy church, dear God, from false or faithless teachers, and keep her obedient and steadfast in thy holy word. Grant unto her thy Spirit, that she may proclaim thy truth with living power, preach thy gospel in all the world, and minister in love to the needs of men everywhere. Spread the peace and tranquility of thy gospel to every nation on the earth. Enlighten them with the knowledge of thy saving power, and preserve them from oppression, wrong, and cruelty. Support our own land in righteousness, and overthrow all wickedness. Preserve us from materialism and moral corruption,
and raise up citizens who will speak and defend the truth openly and boldly. Protect us against every peril from within and without, and give us thy blessing. Dwell in our homes, O Lord. Help our families put their trust in thee, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity shall be able to defeat them, or take from them the conviction that thou art their helper in time of need, even as thou hast redeemed them from eternal death by Jesus Christ. O thou who wilt ever strengthen the bruised reed, turn the afflictions of the weary and sick into their teachers, and the tears of the troubled and sorrowful into their instructors, that they might learn to help to find their help in thee, the only unfailing spring of all healing, both of body and soul. All these things and whatever else we should have asked, we pray in the name of him who is thine only begotten Son, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We sing hymn 250. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is meet
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn 283. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Thank you.